Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we have the joy and privilege of entering your home or sitting down with you in your car, wherever you are, to discuss with you further truths concerning the church, the body of Christ, our wonderful union and position in Christ. And we're in chapter 3. We are starting chapter 3 today. And may I suggest again that I do what I always like to do, to review a little wee bit. You remember in chapter 1 of Ephesians, we had the revelation of God in the purpose of redemption, of how the Father had a special place in our redemption. He blessed us and chose us, adopted us into his family, and accepted us in the Beloved. And then the Son of God had a special place in our redemption. We were redeemed, that is, loosed. We were forgiven every sin. We were brought into fellowship with him and his purposes and plans, and given an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled. And then we have the work of the Spirit in our redemption. We are sealed in Christ until the day of redemption. And that is followed by the prayer of Paul, prayer for knowledge. When we came to chapter 2, we're dealing with the question of reconciliation. We found in that chapter what we were in time past and what we are now in Christ. We found what God has done for us, in that he's taking individuals, the Jews and Gentiles, reconciling them together in one body by the cross, making peace for us, and knitting us together in Christ and seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And the chapter ended with the revelation of the fact that God has taken his people today and we've become a building. We are living stones in the building to be an habitation of God through the Spirit, having access unto the Father by the Spirit of God. Wonderful thing that we can come at any time in the presence of God with all our needs, with all our requests, with our praises, our worship, full access at any time in the presence of God. And then the fact that we're no longer strangers and foreigners, but we're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now we come to chapter 3, and if I give you one word for chapter 3, would be revelation. Chapter 1, redemption. Chapter 2, reconciliation. Chapter 3, revelation. Now when we come to this third chapter of the book of Ephesians, we have the revelation of the church, which is the body of Christ. What it is, its nature, and so on. Now, in the first 13 verses of the chapter, we have the revelation given to us, and then the last part of the chapter is Paul's second prayer in the epistle, and this is a prayer for strength, for power, and for fellowship. Now, in the very first verse, you have a key to what Paul went through because of this revelation. Allow me to read these first three or four verses, and will you follow along with me, please? Third chapter of Ephesians, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Now here you have a revelation of something. Now in the first verse, you have Paul's own personal experience because of his teaching and preaching of this revelation of the church made up of Jews and Gentiles. Paul could say, "For this cause, because of his allegiance to God and his desire for men to become members of the church of Christ, he became the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." You know, it's a wonderful thing. Paul never said he was the prisoner of the Romans. You take in chapter 4 of this same book, chapter 4, the first verse, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." You know, there's a dignity about this that I like. He didn't say the Romans came and took me prisoner, and I'm now here in chains in Rome, in prison, and I'm sorry, but I'm the prisoner of the Romans. No. He lives beyond that and above that. "Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." I love to think of this. And the reason why the Apostle Paul was in prison was because he had opened the door to the Gentiles. Now, it might be well for me to stop here for a few moments. In fact, I would say it's very difficult for us who are Gentiles to appreciate that through which Paul was going. You know, in the book of Acts, chapter 22, you have where the Apostle Paul is giving his defense before Israel, in chapter 22 and 23. And the great issue is that he's been going to the Gentiles with the word of God. Well, you see what's wrong with that. Didn't Jesus say, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature"? Weren't some of the last words of our Savior in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "All authority is mine in heaven and earth. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." Wasn't Paul just obeying the command of Christ? Yes. But you see, he was a Jew. And the early church was made up of Jews. In fact, you don't read of any Gentiles really being saved until you come to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, when Peter went down to the house of Cornelius. And you get a little picture there of the prejudice that was even in the hearts and minds of the disciples concerning the Gentiles. When our Lord was here in Matthew chapter 15, he could say, "I am sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I can't take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." He's talking to Gentiles. In the book of Romans, chapter 15 and 16, chapter 15 especially, where Paul says that he was sent to confirm the promises made to the fathers. The Gentiles were on the outside. Remember that for 1,500 years, from Moses to Christ, the great command of God was that they should not mix up with the Gentiles. They must not intermarry with the Gentiles. They hadn't a thing to do with the Gentiles. They were a separate people unto God. And they tenaciously stuck by that. And now along comes Paul and says that this message is for the Gentiles. As I started to say a moment ago, when God was sending Peter to go down to the house of Cornelius at Caesarea, God had to give Peter a special revelation from heaven that what God had cleansed not to call common or unclean. And now the Apostle Paul is having quite a time. You take in the book of Galatians chapter 2, where he takes his defense and he accuses Peter before them all because Peter was trying to make a difference between Jews and Gentiles. It was very, very difficult, for example, for John Mark to go along with his uncle Barnabas and Paul as they preached to the Gentiles. And it was because of Paul's insistence that the gospel was for the Gentiles today that he was in prison. If he had restricted his message to the Jews, he wouldn't have had the persecution that he had. But to bring in a message that will put the Jews and Gentiles on the same plane. You see, there was no mystery that the Gentiles were going to be blessed. But the place of their blessing and the channel of their blessing was to be through the Jews. And now along comes this man Paul and says, "No, sir. These Gentiles can come into direct connection with God through Jesus Christ." And they went after him, ready to tear him to pieces. They would have killed him if the Romans hadn't rescued him. So you see, it's a tremendous thing when Paul says, "I, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." And then in verse 2, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto you, unto me, the mystery, that which was not known in other ages, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Here is something which God has given to the Apostle Paul, a special revelation of a mystery. And the mystery is the church, the body of Christ, made up of Jews and Gentiles. And it was because of this message that Paul, I say, Paul could say, I'm the prisoner of Jesus Christ, because of the fact that he brought the message of the gospel of the grace of God to Gentiles as well as Jews, making no difference. This was the issue. He made no difference between Jews and Gentiles. I tell you, my friends, this morning, it makes no difference whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're black or white or red. It makes no difference who you are or what you are, where you are, or what you have done. The gospel of the grace of God is open to any individual who will accept it. As far as God is concerned, there's no difference. As Romans 3 says, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And having sinned and come short of his glory, what we need is a Savior. Gentiles need saving, and the Jewish people need saving. And there's only one ground of salvation, and that is in Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. And it was for this message, the message of the grace of God. It's for anybody and everybody. Not for the righteous and the moral and the good folks. It's for anybody, good, bad, or indifferent, religious or irreligious. The message of the gospel of the grace of God concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, is open to anybody who will receive him. Maybe I'm talking to you this morning or today, and you are occupied with your failures. You say, well, I'm not good enough to be saved. My friend, you never will be good enough to be saved. There's not one of us that is good enough to be saved. If we're going to be saved at all, it's got to be saved on the ground of the grace of God. And I want to tell you this morning that wherever you are, you're going to be saved. You can become a child of God and a member of the body of Christ by just receiving him as your own personal Savior and Lord. Now tomorrow, we want to continue on this question. What was this mystery of which Paul speaks here in Ephesians chapter 5? We'll take that up in the next lesson, and the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.